Tales from the Jazz Age by F. Scott Fitzgerald. May Day. Chapter 7. The overrouged young lady followed her with a brief, bitter glance, then turned again to the weak-chinned waiter and took up her argument.
"You'd better go up and tell him I'm here," she said defiantly, "or I'll go up myself."
"No, you don't," said George sternly.
The girl smiled sardonically.
"Oh, I don't I? Well, let me tell you, I know more college fellows, and more of 'em know me, and are glad to take me out on a party than you ever saw in your whole life."
"Maybe so. Maybe so," she interrupted.
"Oh, it's all right for any of 'em like that one that just ran out. God knows where she went. It's all right for them that are asked here to come and go as they like. But when I want to see a friend, they have some cheap, ham-slinging, bring-me-a-donut waiter to stand here and keep me out."
"See here," said the elder Key indignantly. "I can't lose my job. Maybe this fellow you're talking about doesn't want to see you."
"Oh, he wants to see me, all right. Anyways, how could I find him in all that crowd?"
"Oh, he'll be there," she asserted confidently. "You just ask anybody for Gordon Sterrett, and they'll point him out to you. They all know each other, these fellas."
She produced a mesh bag and, taking out a dollar bill, handed it to George.
"Here," she said, "here's a bribe. You find him and give him my message. You tell him, if he isn't here in 5 minutes, I'm coming up."
George shook his head pessimistically, considered the question for a moment, wavered violently, and then withdrew. In less than the allotted time, Gordon came downstairs. He was drunker than he had been earlier in the evening, and in a different way. The liquor seemed to have hardened on him like a crust. He was heavy and lurching, almost incoherent when he talked.
"Hello, Jewel," he said thickly. "Came right away, Jewel. I couldn't get that money. Tried my best."
"Money nothing," she snapped. "You haven't been near me for 10 days. What's the matter?"
He shook his head slowly. "Been very low, Jewel. Been sick."
"Why didn't you tell me if you were sick? I don't care about the money that bad. I didn't start bothering you about it at all until you began neglecting me."
Again he shook his head. "Haven't been neglecting you. Not at all."
"Haven't? You haven't been near me for 3 weeks, unless you've been so drunk you didn't know what you were doing."
"Been sick, Jewel,"
he repeated, turning his eyes upon her wearily. "You're well enough to come and play with your society friends here all night. You told me you'd meet me for dinner, and you said you'd have some money for me. You didn't even bother to ring me up."
"I couldn't get any money."
"Haven't I just been saying that doesn't matter? I wanted to see you, Gordon. But you seem to prefer your somebody else." He denied this bitterly. "Then get your hat and come along," she suggested. Gordon hesitated, and she came suddenly close to him and slipped her arms around his neck. "Come on with me, Gordon," she said in a half-whisper. "We'll go over to Divinery's and have a drink, and then we can go up to my apartment."
"I can't, Jewel."
"You can," she said intensely.
"I'm sick as a dog."
"Well, then you oughtn't to stay here and dance." With a glance around him, in which relief and despair were mingled, Gordon hesitated. Then she suddenly pulled him to her and kissed him with soft, pulpy lips.
"All right," he said heavily. "I'll get my hat."
The end of Chapter 6 of May Day, as originally published in Tales from the Jazz Age by F. Scott Fitzgerald. Read by Rick Kistner for Lit2Go on the web at fcit.usf.edu.